Turn to the book of Galatians with me. Galatians chapter number 2, if you would. I'm going to dive in at verse number 15. I started reading at verse 11, but I am going to start verse 11. I'll read down to the end of the chapter. I'm excited. I want to say this before I'm so excited to preach this morning. The Sunday school teacher, Brother Jeff, really stirred me this morning. He taught a great lesson. And I thought while I was teaching, I said, man, that's going to run right along with some of what I'm going to be preaching this morning. And Brother Jeff, that was great. Thank God. Sunday school's wonderful. If you don't have a Sunday school class, Brother Jeff's class is a wonderful class. And I've been coming there in the last 3 or 4 weeks, and I'm being fed, and I thank God. I appreciate you feeding this old preacher with the Word of God. But if you have your Bibles, Galatians chapter number 2, the Bible said, and I backed up. I want y'all to see this. The Apostle Paul was a courageous man. And by the way, when we're preaching the truth, we need to be courageous about the truth. And we need to be bold about the truth. Not about our preferences. Not about some goofy something. But about the truth. Now I want you to notice in verse number 11. But when Peter was come to Antioch. Notice what Paul said. I withstood him to the face. Because he was to blame. Be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles, but then when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all. This wasn't in my text, but man, this kind of stirred me a little bit. If thou being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles and not do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? So, well, glory. We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Well, somebody help me preach. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Well, glory. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroy, I am myself a transgressor. Well, glory. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. Now here's what I'm preaching this morning. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, listen, then Christ is dead in vain. Good preaching, Reverend. I love the book of Galatians. And Paul loved the Galatian church. The Galatian church loved Paul. I tell you how much they loved him. They called him an angel. They even said, "We'll get our eyes plucked out for you, Paul." But I tell you what happened. He told them the truth. He told them about salvation by grace through faith alone. He told them that they needed to trust God and not trust the law. And trust grace and not trust the law. But I tell you what happened. There's a group came into the church called Judaizers. And in verse 6 of chapter 1, they preached another gospel. And Paul even said to them, "Why have you let them bewitch you?" He even stood up toe to toe with Peter and looked him right in his God-given eyeball and said, "Why are you, when you're with the Gentiles, acting real nice, but if the Gentiles impress you with a bunch of Jews, you want them to succumb to the Jewish religion? Why, Peter?" Somebody help me. I think I got some preach coming on me right now. Amen. They got bewitched. They were founded on sound doctrine. Then chapter 5, they were biting and devouring each other, and they couldn't get along with each other and couldn't get along with God. And I want you to know, anytime you revert from the preaching of grace and start adding works and the law, you bring forth confusion. Somebody help me preach. I want you to look at me. Here's what the problem was. They was wanting a mixture of law and grace. Works and grace. Oh, you get saved by grace, but you've got to keep yourself with keeping the law. Ladies and gentlemen, it's either all of grace or it's not grace at all. Somebody help me preach. And he challenged Peter and he looked right at Peter and he just said, "Peter, you're wrong." Amen. I want you to know something. To live a life outside of Christ is no life at all. The only life worth living is the life we live for Christ. Amen. Ain't nothing of you, and I'm not going to get anywhere by my own works. Somebody help me preach. Don't brag about your religion. Don't brag about your baptism. Don't brag about your church membership. You need to brag about the cross of Christ and what He done there for you. If anybody could brag, Paul could brag. He had the best education. He was a Pharisee. He was famous. You know what he said? "Every bit of that stuff I counted dung." Listen to me. There's only one life this morning worth living, and that's the life for Jesus Christ. And everything else is vain. Hey, education is vain. Being famous is vain. You know what you need to do this morning? Here's what I'm preaching on. Get a life. Amen. I watch people. Boy, I feel some preach, man. I'm about to turn a Chad Eastep and take my coat off. I watch people every day meandering through their life, young people on drugs and sex and alcohol that follow Hollywood. Somebody help me preach. And the athletic world. I could care less what LeBron James thinks. Somebody help me preach. Some of you got real happy Thursday night at your draft, but I want you to know there's one day that I got drafted into the wild, as a wild olive branch into the true branch, and I got saved by the grace of God, and I'm not depending on the Cleveland Browns or the Pittsburgh, surely not the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm high this morning. You said, what are you high on? I got life. Can I tell you, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Good preaching, Reverend. I tell you, when you get saved, I got a God to change your attitude, change your actions, change your priorities, change your plans. Oh, I tell you this morning, you know what you need this morning? You need to get a life. You say, well, kind of life. Well, that's one we'll preach this morning. Amen. Y'all with me? How many still alive and with me? Amen. You say, you ain't preaching like no 70-year-old man. I don't feel like a 70-year-old man right now. Probably will in about 30 minutes. That's something in me still boiling up. Hey, I didn't get the counterfeit. I didn't get false religion. I got life in Christ when I got saved. I fell out from sin and got saved by the grace of God.
Yes, man. That's good.
All right, let's get into this. You said, what have you been doing for the last 12 minutes? I've been into it. Look at verse number 20. I'm going to preach on this. I'm crucified with Christ. Number one, what kind of life are you talking about? I'm talking about a dead life. Here's what Paul was saying. I am not going back under the bondage of the law. I am not going to be shackled anymore by the law. But I am going to die out to sin, and I'm going to die to Christ Jesus. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Number one, there's a personal reckoning. You know what some of you need? You need a death certificate. You say, what do I mean? What do you mean I need a death certificate? That you died out to sin and you're dead. Hey, by the way, you ever die out and get dead? A lot of this junk won't affect you that's going on in this world. Somebody help me preach. It's a dead life. I'm dead to sin. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. You look at me. I may get some of you wanting to pray here in a minute. You don't have to think bad if you're dead to sin. You don't have to smoke and drink and cuss and watch pornography and act like a devil if you're dead to sin. I tell you what, I want to be honest with you. We're preaching too much of this 1, 2, 3, let me get in stuff. I still believe it takes Holy Ghost conviction. I still believe it takes an old-timey preacher to get in your shingles and get down where you're living and preach sin real bad and real ugly that you repent and trust God. Yeah. Dead to sin. Oh, let me say something else. Need to be dead to selfishness. You won't be good in your life that you get to the place sometime that you really don't matter. I'll tell you what I see, and Jeff brought out his lesson today. There's just too much pride amongst us. I want you there. Ain't none of us worth a nickel. We ain't even really smart enough to come in out of the rain. But thank God there was a day in my life that grace moved in. And I died to sin and I died to selfishness. I don't matter. You said, what matters? His life, his love, and to know him. That's all that matters. Oh, I'll give you this. You mean to die to sensitivity. You say, well, you don't know how they hurt me. You don't know how them evil words bother me. Well, if you was a dead man, it wouldn't bother you. You're just too sensitive. Amen. You say, well, I can't get over 40 years ago when somebody just looked at me bad in church. Hey, by the way, it's time for some of you to get over your excuses and serve God and die out to some of that low feeling sorry for yourself. Die out to your jealousy. Die out to your bitterness. Die out to your anger. Die out to your gossip. It's time for you to quit the foolishness and just believe God and die out to sin. Then I see a painful rendering. Amen. I'm crucified with Christ. By the way, he suffered. He was mocked. Does that mean we're going to get mocked? Yes. Does that mean there are going to be some people not like us sometime? Yes. But I want you to know, Brother Chad, it don't matter if I'm dead. How can I feel what they're saying if I'm dead? If I'm suffering his shame? If I'm suffering his death? Somebody help me preach. Am I preaching? Whew. Amen. Then I say a perpetual reasoning. By the way, as some of you... when you got saved, yes, you died to sin. But you've got to keep dying to sin. I don't know if Donnie Rucker's here today, are you? There he is. How could I miss somebody that ugly? I'm kidding. Donnie Rucker's dad pastored this church before I came. His name was Omar Rucker. Omar Rucker was my hero. He influenced my coming here. And I love him. His office used to be in that old little building upstairs before we enlarged the church. I'll never forget that first couple of days of September when I walked into his office and I sat down at his phone, and it's one of them, you know, yeah. I went, mm-hmm. You kids wouldn't know what that was. And I lifted it up. Donnie, you know what it said? It said right there on his phone. Because preachers are always on the phone. Here's what he said. I die daily. I tell you what, some of us, we need to die daily. We wouldn't be pouting around. We wouldn't be complaining around. We wouldn't be acting like a bunch of losers if we would die daily. Because a dead man can't feel all that pain. A dead man can't feel all that persecution. If you're dead, somebody help me preach. Number two. Y'all still with me? Whoa, I'm coming, son. Number two. Look at the verse. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I like that. Nevertheless, I live. Not only is it a dead life, but it also is a dynamic life. And I know what some of you critics are thinking. Pastor, you're contradicting yourself. How can you be dead and it be dynamic at the same time? That's an oxymoron. Somebody help me preach. You know why I'm alive right now? It's because he's alive. He said submissive perspective, yet not I. You know what the problem? You know why some of you have a problem with your Christian life? You said, Preacher Smith, I have a problem getting up and going to church. All you got to do is get up. And you know what will get you up? If you got somebody living inside of you that gets you up. Say, preacher, I have a problem praying. I tell you what you need to do. All you got to do is get down. And if you got somebody living in you, not only can you get up and come to church, but you also can get down to pray. And if you got somebody living in you, not only can you go to church and pray, but you can also go out and witness somebody and hand a tract to somebody, and you can go out. And you say, preacher, I have a problem to keep my mouth shut. Well, if you let him help you, he'll shut your mouth. Yeah, I'm preaching. I'll tell you what's wrong with you. Some of you ate up with running your mouth. Gossiping, carrying on, acting like a buzzard. We're new people in Christ. We ought to act different. I know what somebody's going to say. I had my Geritol today, but I did. We were all right. Not only do I see a submissive perspective, but I see a supernatural performance. But it's Christ that liveth within me. You said, what will clean up my dirty mouth? Christ. What will clean up them dirty things in my mind? Christ. Somebody help me preach. And then it's a shared power. Look at this. Y'all with me? I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Paul said that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Amen. I tell you what we need to do. We need to take some time to know him. We need to read our Bible to know him. Somebody help me preach. We need to pray that we have more communion with him. It ought to be less about us and more about him. I'm sick and tired of seeing it. You said your Sunday school classes, these preachers, they're so good social media. They promote themselves every week. Everybody thinks they're something special. Let me tell you what your preacher thinks of himself. I'm nothing outside of God. I'm not going to get on social media and get people to come to where I am. Ladies and gentlemen, if God in me can't do it, then it ain't going to get done. Tell you what, they are a bunch of manipulators. Amen. Even in our Baptist ranks, I see it. All they do is run on emotion and somebody else's emotion. I tell you what we need. We need to get back to the substance and get alive. Woo. Y'all still with me? Ain't nobody died yet, have you? You like it, Chad? It's all right. Number three. Woo. Y'all mind me doing this? I'm going to take a little shot of this Dasante water. I think Mike might have put something in it. We need to have a dead life, Colton. We need a dynamic life. And then we need a dedicated life. Whew, let's read some more. I'm crucified with Christ. Y'all with me? Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Somebody sold me, said, Preacher Smith, I can't live a Christian life. Look at me. If you can't live one, then there must be something missing. I'm going to try not to hurt nobody's feelings. But I think there's a whole lot of profession and not much possession going on today. I just believe that the God that saved me back in 1973, He keeps me every day, He changes my life, and I have committed myself, and I am dedicated to Him, and I live by the faith of the Son of God. I'm living by faith, not by sight. It's not what I see and feel, but it's what I see by faith. We need to live by the truth of the sacrifice of Christ. We need to trust our Savior. How many believe He's trustworthy? Amen. It's not your talent. I'll tell you what some of us need. Well, we need to quit worrying about how much talent we got. Somebody help me preach. We need unction to function. I'll be honest with you. I've been preaching 49 years, almost. When I got saved, I wasn't the most talented thing going. And I wasn't even the sharpest nail in the drawer, either. But I want you to know something. You really don't need to be the sharpest thing in the drawer and the most talented person in the world. What you need is the power of God living in you and the sweet Holy Ghost living and guiding your life every day. Somebody say amen right there. I'll tell you why. We're getting ready for a jubilee. I want you to know those preachers are not going to bring it. If we're going to get it, it'll be because we're going to pray and we're going to fast and we're going to ask God and we're going to depend on God. If your life means anything this morning, it means that you trusted God alone to help you. Am I preaching this morning? Amen. Amen. I'll just be honest with you. There's a whole lot of people think the cross is just a myth, just a story. I want you to know the cross is real. The cross is true. He died, but not only did He die, He rose again the third day. Amen. He paid it all for me. Then we ought to have some thankfulness for our salvation. Somebody help me preach. I tell you, it bothers me that we talk about our job. We talk about how many friends we got, how much money we got, all the things we got. And the last one on the line is the Savior that bought us. Some of you ought to thank God that He looked beyond your faults and saw your need. He is worthy this morning of your praise. He is worthy this morning of your honor. He is worthy for you to serve Him. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. I got up this morning. Chad, you ain't gonna believe what time I got up. 4 o'clock in the morning. Woke up. You said, what do you do when you wake up at 4? You got one or two choices. Roll or get up and read and pray. I chose read and pray. By 6 in the morning, I had some shout in me. Y'all want to know the Geritol I have? It's working in me right now. I got the earnest of the expectation in me. I got the Holy Ghost. I'm sealed to the day of redemption. I'm one of God. Shout, I'm heir of God. Join every Jesus. And I'm happy about it. Somebody ought to praise Him. If you love your salvation, you ought to praise Him. I'm done. Chad, you got any oxygen around here? I'm going to need it after this. Verse 21. You see, what kind of life are you talking about? A dead life? A dynamic life? Oh, somebody help me. What else? A dedicated life. But look at verse 21. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. A decisive life. You know what the word frustrate means, Chad? It means to disannul. Like it didn't work. I want all y'all to know what he gave me worked. I came from a bad background. You said, but how could you come from a bad background and make it? He made it for me. You said, how can I frustrate the grace of God? I'm glad you asked. By adding to it. Come on now. I want you to know something. It ain't Jesus in your baptism. It ain't Jesus in your tithe. It ain't, come on now. All that's good. But none of it takes you to heaven. Now I'm going to get in some trouble right here. That bunch that believes baptismal regeneration. If you think you can add baptism, your salvation get away with, you can't. By the way, you'll just go in that tub of dry sinner and come out a wet hypocrite. It's not baptism. I have one of them little cats. This guy was about 5 foot tall. He came right here to me. About 3 or 4 weeks ago. You know who I'm talking about, that kind. Come up and looked up at me. He said, what are you right here? He said, you preach false doctrine. I said, why? I actually went like this, why? He said, because you preach grace alone. If you're not baptized, you're not get saved. So I could get on his level, I got down on one knee and looked him right in his eyeball. And I said, I want you to know something, sir. Your baptism's sending people to hell. And you trying to add works to sending people to hell. And there's churches all over this place. You know why people think they're saved, lost, saved, lost, saved, lost? Because they never got under the spout where the glory got out. And they never really got out under real repentance and trusted Christ alone. And got saved by the grace of God. I don't know where you stand this morning. But I want you to know if you're in this room and lost, the only hope for you is Jesus. And you need a life. Not a manufactured life that you do, but one that he'll give you. Lois, would you get a pen for me, please? Bow your head with me. Head bowed and eyes closed. I want to ask you this question. I'm not asking you if you're a church membership. I'm asking you this. If you die today, died right now, how many are 100% sure you go to heaven? Raise your hand. If you don't know it, don't raise it. 100%. I'm 100%. God bless you. How many right now say, preacher, I'm not 100% sure if I died today I'd go to heaven. But I need to go to heaven. And I want to go to heaven. And I want that life you was talking about. How many right now that couldn't raise your hand, just slip your hand up right now and say, pray for me. I'm not a Christian, but I want to be. Slip it up. I want that life you was talking about. I don't want to die and go to hell. I want to go to heaven. Bless that hand. Somebody else. Come on. Slip it up. How many in this room, you're saved, but you're backsliding and living below your privileges, and you're not letting Christ take over in your life? And you're not dying daily. You've got bitterness in you, unforgiveness in you, hatred in you, gossip in you. You're doing things you shouldn't do that Christians ought not do. Why don't you today just slip your hand up and say, preacher, pray for me. I'm saved, but I just ain't close to God. Raise them hands. Yes, 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 yes. Would you do this? Would you come up here to the altar? And he said, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Stand with me. Our Father, I pray for that one lost man. I pray for these many Christians that are saved, but they're living defeated lives. and they don't have victory, Lord, help them, we pray. In Jesus' name, for His sake, amen.